tremendously exciting moment. It's into your head. Number 133. Now, we have a lot to get on with today, so we better not pussyfoot about and linger on the introduction. So let's get straight to the point. I've got some issues that need to be dealt with today. Now, normally, if this was a professional broadcast, these two pieces of paper in front of me would have notes on them. Perhaps an agenda or a list of topics and reference notes to which I could refer, but unfortunately one of the pieces of paper contains a picture of a cat and the other piece of paper is blank, so those are of no use to me whatsoever, so I might as well put them away. I suppose I could use them to catch crumbs. They're not important, as you may have gathered, so yeah, I'll use them to catch crumbs, because I might eat some bread at some point, or I may have eaten some bread a few minutes ago, and I could brush the crumbs onto the piece of paper if I had had the foresight to not brush them onto the floor just before I started recording. But nonetheless, they may come in useful at some point. Let's not tell that tree yet that it died in vain, or had its bark removed in vain, just to make a piece of paper to have a cat on it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If I was a tree, and a piece of paper was ripped from my flesh, and used to carry a picture of a cat, particularly this one's a particularly good picture of a cat, I don't think I'd feel that my life had been in vain, especially since stripping one sheet of paper off a tree doesn't necessarily make the tree die. If I could prove that, if you like, just not in this weather, and I don't have a big enough tree for an A4 piece of paper yet. This is a relatively new house, and the biggest tree that I've got would probably only give out a notebook size piece of paper, although that could come in useful in itself. But I do have a reasonable enough sized supply of manufactured paper here in my office at the moment, so there's no need for me to go vandalising that tree, or getting the fruits from the tree, or whatever you like to call it. I don't know, some people would call that vandalising the tree. I wouldn't, because I don't consider it vandalising to take the fruits of the tree and reap them and harvest them and use them for an entirely legitimate purpose, such as drawing a cat on a piece of paper, or in this case, printing the cat. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking if the cat was printed, then you probably had a perfectly good electronic picture of the cat on your computer somewhere, and there was no need to waste paper by printing the cat onto the piece of paper. Well, quite frankly, a screen uses up a lot more of the Earth's resources than a piece of paper does. This screen is made of all types of non-biodegradable plastics and electrons, and it uses electricity that's probably made by rubbing two rare forms of goat together to form electricity. And I'll tell you, once you use up that electricity, you can never get it back again. That goat becomes extinct, because of course the electricity formed by rubbing two goats together causes at least one of the goats to become impotent. And if one of the goats is impotent, then there's no point it trying to impregnate the other goat, even if the other goat is still fertile, because it takes two goats to make another goat, and neither of them can be impotent. So there, that take that with your freaking electronic copies of a picture of a cat instead of printing them onto paper. I'll tell you, that tree that this piece of paper came out of didn't go extinct. That's what the goat did. So what do you want, an extinct goat or a tree that's slightly thinner than it used to be? Take your pick. I know which one I go for, I can tell you. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, every man to his own taste. Some of us like trees, and some of us like extinct goats, and some of us like goats, so we'd prefer the goat not to be extinct, and we'd like the goat to eat the tree, and thereby make the tree dead, but not necessarily extinct. If we produce the correct number of goats, and don't overpopulate the place with goats, and the correct number of trees, so that there's enough trees for the goats to eat, but there's enough trees to reproduce themselves as well, so there continues to be a steady supply of goats and the steady supply of trees to feed the goats, then neither need go extinct. It's called the food chain, and it's a perfectly natural chain of events. We're all part of the food chain. Those of us who eat goat, anyway, we're part of the food chain. If you eat goat's cheese, that means you've eaten a goat that's being eaten by a cow, as I understand it. And of course, vegetarians don't eat cows at all. They go to jump straight to the goat's cheese because they don't want to eat the cow. So whatever nutrition they usually get from eating the cow, they just directly eat whatever the cow normally eats. So they eat the grass directly instead of having it processed through a cow before they eat it, or they eat I don't know, whatever a cow eats. I don't know what else. Presumably a cow eats whatever is in a field or on the perimeter of the field, perhaps blackberries. There's always blackberries in the hedges around the fields, around where I live anyway. I live in on the outskirts of a rural town, and there's always plenty of hedges to be eaten whenever I go out on my walks. I don't eat them myself now, I just observe them. I like to observe the food chain in motion, so to speak. If you watch a cloud slowly moving across the sky on a windy day, you can see that the rain falls down out of it, and the cows drink that, and then they urinate it out, and the water goes down into a stream, down to a reservoir, and then it evaporates from the reservoir up into a water collecting thing, and then it gets cleaned, and then we drink it, and then we urinate it out, and then it gets sprayed up from the sewerage spraying system up into a cloud, and they form new clouds, and then that lands on the cow, and the cow says, I feel smelly, I need a wash, and then the cow goes and bathes himself in a nearby river. Of course, the water then gets displaced and goes all over the place, and that's how floods happen. So when you're stuck in a flood, just remember, next time you're stuck in a flood, it's because you eat cows that happens, and that's why you should just become a vegetarian or a vegan. And avoid eating cows, just eat the grass directly. It's easier anyway. You just go and gather it up, find some decent recipes for it. You can probably make a decent grass soup if you put your mind to it, instead of going out and buying frigging burgers. I tell you don't have to go to McDonald's to get grass. You can just get it anywhere and go and put it in a pot in the microwave. Make sure you add water now, unless there's enough water in the grass. If it's water-logged grass, I'll probably need a wash. So give her a wash. You don't need me to explain that stuff to you. Give the frigging grass a wash, and then cook it to whatever your tastes are, and then eat the frigging stuff, and then stop complaining about cows getting in the way of your food, because they're not anymore. You're directly eating the grass. You'll probably turn into some sort of I don't know, an obsessive grass eater, if you carry that on. Everything is addictive, after all. If I sit here drinking this beer for long enough, I'll become addicted to beer, and I'll want more and more and more, and then I won't feel normal unless I'm drinking beer, and then, of course, I'll have to keep urinating all the time, too, and I'll urinate so much that I won't feel normal unless I'm urinating. So I'll basically be standing at the toilet with a can of beer in one hand and my urination apparatus in the other, and there'll be a steady stream of water going through me. It'll probably form some sort of electric current, and I can use that to fuel a nearby housing estate, because I'll have to make an income somehow if I'm going to have to spend my entire day standing at the toilet. I'll have to figure out some way to make a living out of this, because you have to make do with what you've got. If you're limited to a particular way of life, then you have to figure out how to make a living out of that. We're all going to learn that now when the recession gets going. Those of us who are stuck at a computer watching the word recording flashing on the screen are going to figure out how to make a living out of that. I suppose I could start charging for Into Your Head. I could say, every time you listen to Into Your Head, you have to send me money. Let's try that. I'll try it now. Every time you listen to Into Your Head, like you're doing right now, you have to send me money. Now I'll let you know how that works. Presumably you'll send me money now, in the post, because I don't have, my PayPal account is being blocked. So don't send me money by PayPal. Send me it I don't know, sent me, convert it into something else, like, so something that I can barter it for. I suppose you could send me a cat, make sure it's a rare one, one that's rare here anyway. Actually, that's a good point. You're probably listening abroad and you've got breeds of cats that are rare in Ireland, but are plentiful over there. So one man's gold is another man's plentiful cat. So if you send me one of your plentiful cats, I can probably exchange that for 10 billion euros, and then I'll send you back something here that's rare over there. I don't know. You'll have to tell me what it is. You can probably tell me. I don't know. Something, anything, whatever you want. I don't know. If you give me a cat that's worth 1 million euros, then I'll quite frankly give you whatever you want, up to the value of 10,000 euros. But let's not preempt ourselves. We can discuss that off the air at some point. If you have any propositions or any ideas that I haven't thought of, do go ahead and contact me, as long as it involves me becoming wealthy. Now, I've got a lotto ticket here, so this whole thing may be preempted, and by the time you hear this podcast, I may be a multi-millionaire and not care anymore. But don't let that worry you. I don't know why it should worry you. The prospect of me becoming rich, surely you'd be very happy about it. I know I would. If I became rich. If you became rich, you'd presumably send me some money, so that would be good too. But now, that's not going to happen to you. That sort of thing only happens to me, not you, because that's the way the world crumbles. Crumbles. But I didn't say cookie, I said world instead, because I got a bit sick of using pseudonyms and whatever you call those things where you use a word and or a concept and it's meant to be an anachronism for another concept. I forget what that word is, whatever you call it anyway, so I decided to just call a spade and call the world instead of calling the world a cookie, because frankly the cookie is an out of date analogy. That's the word I was trying to think of, analogy. Anyway, the cookie is an out-of-date analogy for the world. Because back when people used to refer to the Earth as a cookie, then that's when they thought the Earth was flat. Or at least disc-shaped and about half an inch thick, with little bumpy bits and raisins coming up out of it. Quite soft and warm if you're lucky, if it's just fresh from the bakery. But we know nowadays that the Earth isn't like that at all. The Earth is more spherical, hasn't got any raisins in it, except in places where they manufacture raisins. There's raisins in the raisin factories, but those wouldn't be big enough to show up on a little tiny cookie-sized representation of the Earth. If you made a model of the Earth out of a cookie, you wouldn't expect the little tiny raisins in the raisin factories to show up as little dots on the cookie, because they're way too small. It's a question of scale and size. You wouldn't even expect people to show up in it, unless you'd have to make the cookie the size of Ireland at least. Maybe then you'd be able to see some little specks running around. At least the fat people, they'd show up. Or if you looked at it at an angle, because I believe you can do that on Google Earth now, if you look at some places at an angle, then you might see some of the skinnier people from the side. But that's, they didn't have that kind of technology back when the world was flat, and when they were representing it with flat cookies. Unless maybe they use a bun instead, but that's that would have caused confusion, because that would have messed up the whole history of science, because some guy back there when the Earth was flat was busy in the science lab trying to come up with the proof that the Earth was round, because he knew it was round, he just had to come up with the proof and convince all these Neanderthals that it wasn't flat. And if someone came up and said, we appreciate now that the Earth might be three-dimensional, so we're going to use this cupcake to represent the Earth, that wouldn't have helped, because you can't, as soon as they looked into that any further, they would have found out that a cup-shaped The cupcake-shaped item would not revolve around the sun because it's not round, and that would effectively prove that the Earth was more likely to be flat than three-dimensional, because a cupcake or whatever you call it, a cupcake just isn't aerodynamically shaped, and it wouldn't have occurred to anyone then to try a spherical shape, because cupcake was the first three-dimensional shape they thought of, and it just didn't work out. The idea of a cupcake revolving around the sun at millions of miles an hour, and going around and causing gravity, and causing a perfect circle in its revolutions and causing the seasons, would just have been ridiculous. But so they would have said, "Feck this, the Earth isn't three-dimensional at all, we're going back to the cookie thing." But no, luckily someone came up with a spherical shape idea before they came up with the cup, whatever the hell, I keep forgetting what it's called, the cupcake shaped theory. So it all worked out, and we managed to prove that the Earth was round after all, and spherical. But in the end, it just goes to show how things can go wrong, and it's all in the way the cookie crumbles.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guest book, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system.
Intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good time.
Intoyourhead.com.